Will you pray with me?
Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us and guide us to your holy dwelling. Amen. You may be seated. Well, there is good news for you if you haven't yet found the time to put away those Christmas decorations. Maybe you just like the way they look, or just maybe you have a 10-month-old in the house and it is all you can do to keep the kid fed, changed, and sufficiently napped, and you just haven't found the time to put them up. Whatever the case, as I said, there's good news for you. And that good news is this: there is a long-standing tradition going back to medieval England of keeping up your Christmas decorations up through the Feast of Candlemas today, February 2nd. So fear not, no matter how droopy your tree has gotten at this point, it is still appropriate to be celebrating Christmas. Now, tomorrow I got nothing for you, sorry. I was very impressed recently with a children's Christmas storybook we received from my parents. It follows the account that we get in the scriptures fairly closely. It did a good job about the announcement of the birth of Jesus, how it came to be, and what happened later. But what really put it over the line for me, was that this story of Candlemas, of Simeon, Anna, and Jesus in the temple, was included in this Stories of Christmas. And it's a pop-up book, too. Anyway, it's great. And it is right that this story would be included in a children's book on Christmas. Mary and Joseph, being observant and pious followers of God's law, dutifully obeyed the command to offer a sacrifice for Jesus as the firstborn, coming to the temple in Jerusalem 40 days after his birth. This story serves as a sort of cap on Luke's tale of the incarnation, with Jesus entering the temple for the first and certainly not the last time. And it's the thrilling fulfillment of the prophecy that we heard read a little bit earlier from Malachi. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Let's pretend for a moment that we don't know this story of Candlemas. And we heard that word from Malachi. How would we imagine this prophetic word would be fulfilled? A refiner's fire. What sort of scene do we envision with the Lord coming into his temple? Probably something like we see out of the book of Revelation. Awesome in scope and terrifying in power. But like in Revelation, when it is called out that the Lion of Judah is coming and a slain lamb appears, so the Lord comes into his temple not as a warrior king, but as a 40-day-old infant, clinging to his mother. And that baby, Jesus, is introduced to two special people in the temple, Simeon and Anna. The last time I preached on Candlemas, my focus was on Anna and how her age, as is specifically noted in the gospel, tells us that she would have been around to see an independent Israel in her younger days that fought for its existence only to fall again into outside control after collapsing with corruption upon itself from the inside. It's remarkable how Anna remained faithful through the midst of all that upheaval, seeing the fruitless efforts of human revolution and violence. But when she saw the baby Jesus, she knew this was the one the people had been waiting for. But with the focus on Anna last time, I want to turn today to Simeon. The text doesn't give us his age, But we can infer from his promise from the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. We can infer from that, probably, that he, like Anna, was likely in the latter years of his life. So perhaps some of those same factors that were present with Anna were with Simeon as well. He certainly would have known the history of Israel's colonization by outside powers and its struggle to be free. And yet, he remained steadfast in his hope that he would see the consolation of Israel. And, like Anna, he recognized that consolation, that liberation, when he saw him, a baby, being carried into the temple by his parents. But I don't want us to miss Simeon's singular vision for seeing the will of God being done and realized in Christ, because I think that is a primary gift that his witness gives to us today in this story. Because Simeon is full of the Holy Spirit, he's looking for one thing, the thing that God has told him he would see before his death, the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. For Simeon, this, seeing the Messiah, that is the finish line. Not his family connections, not his wealth, whatever it was, not even his own practice of religious piety, which was obviously very important to him. Simeon was aimed at seeing the Lord. And when he did, after that had happened, he could depart this life in peace. What is the finish line? What are the finish lines you have set for yourself in this life? Perhaps it's that number you've worked out with your financial advisor that you need to retire securely. Perhaps it's the position that you have been seeking for so long, the one that will grant you the freedom, the compensation, the respect that you deserve, after which you will be able to relax. Perhaps the finish line is getting your children raised and out of your care, or getting out of your parents' house, well on their way or well on your way to becoming well-adjusted and independent adults. Then, finally, you will be able to find peace. What's your finish line? I'm not here to suggest that we not make and pursue goals. But if our finish line, if our goal is not to behold Christ, we pursue in vain. Simeon was given a singular vision, and he stuck to it. He could have committed himself to a political vision that demanded that his people be the ones who held power. He could have committed to an inward-facing vision that looked to meeting his own tangible needs through material means. But his vision was fixed on the coming Messiah. That was his finish line. So how did Simeon maintain faithfulness and that singular vision for the Lord and his work in the world? Our text in Luke gives us a couple of clues. First, we're told that Simeon was righteous and devout. Simeon had a living and active faith that he practiced daily. You may have heard some people say, perhaps with the good motive of not wanting to become self-righteous. You may have heard this, that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. Well, the problem with that phrase is that just as in any relationship, if we do not have practices that sustain the relationship dies. I do not have a relationship with physical fitness if I am never conscious of how I am taking care of my physical body, if I don't have a plan. There are practices that the church gives us to tend our souls, to tend our faith, prayer, silence, reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, corporate worship together. And yes, we practice those things religiously, not because we want to earn the 100% Sunday school attendance star, though that is well and good, but because these things form us evermore into the likeness of Jesus. They make us ready to see where God is working, to hear, ready to hear when God is speaking. Simeon was ready because of the practice of his righteous and pious life. The text also emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit in Simeon's faith. Even in a pre-Pentecost, pre-ministry of Jesus world, the Holy Spirit is living and active in this chapter. Simeon is listening to the Holy Spirit, not just in the macro sense, the large sense of believing his word from the Lord, that he would see the Messiah, but in the daily, almost mundane level of obeying the Spirit's voice to go to the temple at a particular time so he could see Jesus. Did you catch this in the text? And he came in the Spirit to the temple. Luke writes. Now we may not get that sort of prompting from the Holy Spirit often, or perhaps we do, but are we listening? Make that call. Visit that brother or that sister. Ask that question. So how can we maintain a vision? A finish line that is consistently fixed on Jesus. We practice our faith with integrity and discipline. And we listen for the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. Both of those things are lost so easily in a world of noise and goals competing for our attention. But losing sight of seeing the Lord is to lose sight of the only goal that is truly worth pursuing. My mind is drawn to one of my favorite films, The Two Towers, the second film, in the now 2-decade-old Lord of the Rings trilogy. Of course, of the book, based on the book of the same name. The heroes, part of the band of heroes, is taking safety in the fortress of Helm's Deep, the mountain, knowing that an impossibly large army of orcs and other evil things is coming after them there. Gandalf, this is the good wizard, leaves to find help. As he does so, he says to his friend Aragorn, "Look to my coming on the first light of the fifth day. At dawn, look to the east." The next 2 days bring with them the lead up to and the inevitable battle, and the apparent defeat of the forces of good, who are overwhelmed by the sheer number of evil soldiers. And then, just as it seems all hope is lost, at dawn, on that fifth day, Gandalf arrives with an army to help, spilling over onto the armies of the enemy with the sunlight of that fifth morning. It's a great scene. Simeon had been given a much better word than even Gandalf the White could offer. He was going to see the Lord's Messiah with his own eyes. And he wouldn't be deterred by anything else. And he would only have peace when he saw him. We too have been given such a vision, for not only do we know the story of God who became a baby and entered into his temple, but we know of his life, his death, his resurrection, and his coming again, his promise to come again. What are you looking for? Because it's right there. It's right there. The sum of our pains, our hopes, our dreams, fulfilled and brought into healing and fullness in the promise of Jesus. That's it. May we have the eyes to look only for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.